Mogwai, a kind of demon believed to be harmful to humans. The origins of the term Mogwai gives a transliteration of a word which means monster, evil spirit, devil, or demon. Writings referencing Chinese tradition suggest that the Mogwai are certain demons which often inflict harm on humans. Seeing that the movie The Gremlins featured a style of creature that was based on these monsters, it's easy to connect the movie to the must-have toy of the late 1990s. Because the toy, called Furby, did have some similarities in aesthetics to the Gremlins. Cute but creepy, seemingly innocent, small in size with big, almost bat-like ears. Furbies, however, were much more owlish in appearance, sporting a beak and two big lidded eyes. The eyes were front-facing, and looking at the evolution of creatures on planet Earth, this trait is common in a certain type of animal. A predator. It's 1998, and the must-have toy has just landed. The recent crossover between stuffed animals and electronic toys makes Furby an instant hit. The team created the toy in just 18 months. That's 9 months of design and planning, and 9 months of building. Among the creators was David Hampton, a former Navy electronics specialist. After travelling the world and learning a variety of different languages, including Japanese, Thai, Chinese, and Hebrew, Hampton landed several jobs within Silicon Valley, most notably roles within toy development. Whilst working in industry, he met Caleb Chung, and after forming his own design and consulting company, Hampton teamed up with Chung and a third creator named Richard C. Levy. The 90s era of electronic pets helped spark the idea for Furbies, with Hampton and Chung seeing a Tamagotchi in action at the New York annual toy fair. The pair said that although the idea was cool, you couldn't actually pet it, which was a drawback to the cyber pet idea. Thus, a bridge between the virtual pet craze and a physical creature that you could hold could solve the issue. They wanted an electronic companion that you could cuddle. Chung started designing a small bird-like creature that would have certain senses. It could feel when it was tickled and also convey emotions through its features, having an expressive face and being somewhat anthropomorphic. The toy would run off a single DC motor, which would keep costs down, but meant for a series of complex cams, gears, and mechanisms to make all of the facial movements that the creature needed in order to convey emotion. Chung and Hampton's main goal was to create an imitation of life, something that, like Tamagotchis, couldn't be switched off and gave the impression of being alive, a creature that felt like a friend. This idea made some people feel uncomfortable because the toy felt present and its imitation of life encroached on what it is to be human. One of the well-known features of Furby is that it can talk. They would start out speaking their own language, known as Furbish. This was a mixture of the languages Hampton picked up during his travels in the Navy. Furbies would seemingly learn English as they spent more time around their human companions. However, this was just an imitation. The robotic toy would actually just gradually switch to English over time, which gave the impression it was learning from its owner. The trick certainly did fool the general public, as many people claimed to have taught their Furby friends words and phrases. Furbies could actually speak to one another though. Well, as far as recognizing other Furbies and making sounds and gestures to signal that they were in the company of one another. This was possible due to an infrared sensor that was between their eyes. Once close enough to detect others, the creature would have conversations with one another in Furbish. Furby's imitation of life meant that they would go to sleep. The toys would have light and sound sensors, so if they encountered light or noise, they would wake up from their slumber and start talking. The sensitivity of the detectors meant that even small noises or dim lights could rouse the sleeping robots, which subsequently led to them living in cupboards and wardrobes during the nighttime hours. This was to prevent them from waking you up in the middle of the night for no apparent reason.
Furby hungry.
Yes, the slightest snore or you tossing and turning in bed could have led to your Furby waking up, screaming its own language, or making fart noises. This was actually quite creepy. Hampton, Chung and Levy sold their design to Tiger Electronics, who produced the original toys. This was the first successful attempt at producing a programmed robot and selling it to the masses. It launched in the winter holiday season of 1998 and continued to sell into the year 2000. 1.8 million units were sold in 98, and in 1999, they reached 14 million, and by their third year in 2000, over 40 million Furbies were sold. In 2005, the product design and rights were sold to Hasbro, who produced updated versions of Furbies throughout the years. The new Furbies, released in 2005, had complex facial movements and even voice recognition. A myth arose that the new Furbies would repeat words that were said to them. This came from the toy's ability to say pre-programmed phrases more often if the owner petted them when it said those words. I guess this is a type of positive reinforcement in action. This urban legend supposedly led to several intelligence agencies banning Furbies from their offices. They allegedly claimed that they posed a risk to national security. A few Furby video games were released over the years, with the first being Big Fun in Furbyland. This was a 1999 children's game for PC, and it was a collection of four mini-games. The users could play In the Clouds, Furby Fest, Club Furby, and Furby to the Rescue. The game also allowed players to create a customizable Furby and play with it in between the mini-games. The only console Furby game title is Dancing Furby, and this was for Game Boy Color and was only released in Japan. Again, this was mainly built up of minigames, but also included a Furbish to Japanese dictionary. However, the unique selling point of the game was that it can actually communicate with Furbies. Because Game Boy Colors boasted infrared transmitters, this allowed the device to send signals to Furbies. When the dance game is completed, the Furby would respond, farting if it was beaten on easy, yawning or playing hide and seek if it was beaten on medium, and if the player was on hard, it would dance. That's cool, right? This is the 1990s. More recently, there was Furby Kinect World, a 2016 mobile game for Android and Apple devices. The app allowed the user to connect to the new Furby models via Bluetooth. But the app did have gameplay too, where players could hatch and raise virtual Furby babies called Furblings. Since 2017, the game has been discontinued. It was no longer receiving updates and was actually removed from app stores back in 2023. The toys were really popular and had a decent amount of technology in them for the time. The US retail price was $35, so if you account for inflation, that's closer to $55 today. But regardless of the cost, they still became a must-have for most children at Christmas. With the demand for the robotic pets skyrocketing, low stocks meant that fights amongst parents would break out for them during the holidays. When retail suppliers ran out of stock, parents flooded to the internet and would pay three or more times the regular retail price in order to get their hands on the toys who had a mind of their own. Not only were Furbies flying off the shelves, so were Happy Meals. Yes, fast food giant McDonald's released a bunch of different Furby collectibles. And in the 2000s, they actually released a second series of McFurbies in the UK that would sing to one another via sensors in their feet. I'm looking at a photo of a blue and red one now, and it looks absolutely terrifying. I need a moment to get over this harrowing beast, so I'm going to take a breather whilst we have a quick break. But don't go anywhere, because we have an equally scary robot of an aquatic nature who haunted the dreams of sleeping children back in the early 2000s. All that and more coming up after the break. Welcome back. Before the break, we spoke about the McDonald's editions of Furbies, dubbed McFurbies, being rather frightening. But the original Furbies were pretty scary too. But they weren't alone. Another product that was released as something that would be called a Furby friend was Shelby. This was an adaptation released in 2001 that is kind of similar to the original toys in that it has the same shaped facial features and a beak, although this model was stuffed inside a clam. Shelby's slogan was, "The more you play with me, the more I do," which is a slogan I have since adopted with my wife. Why the minds at Tiger Electronics decided that what Furby needed was a redesign so that it now looked like an owl that had been half eaten by an oyster is beyond me. These harrowing creatures no longer had tails, but instead had furry manes that ran down the top of their clamshell like a mohawk. Their infrared sensors were on antennae, which moved to help convey emotion, and were called tennies. These additions meant that Shelby could communicate with others of their kind, as well as Furbies and other spin-off creations called Furby Babies. Although this is a bit strange, because Furbies would speak to each other in their native tongue of Furbish, and Shelbies spoke an entirely different language called, you guessed it, Shelbish. So, how they could communicate even though they didn't speak each other's language is, well, I don't know. But this is from the minds who came up with the super inventive term, Shelbish. So, I digress. Once Shelby learned English, it would spout nautical phrases that were commonly spoken by pirates.
Walk the plank, arr,
and
shiver me timbers
were among them. For some reason, these models weren't very successful, and the products only sold for about a year. Bummer. I wonder why. Anyway, Furby products never saw a popularity boom like they did in their first 3 years of sale, and updated versions didn't ever live up to the height of the first-gen releases. By 2007, Furbies had pretty much vanished from stores. Another attempt to bring Furbies back happened in 2012, and they had a bunch of new technical abilities. This version was more of a hit than previous editions. The new model had a similar convention to Tamagotchi's, whereby the Furby's personality would change as it grew depending on how it was treated and raised, developing into one of several personalities. Hasbro swapped the original animatronic eyes for light-up LCD screens. This gave a wider range of emotions it could convey, but it lacked the relatability that you get with something physical. I often find this kind of thing in movies. A real-life puppet or a well-made animatronic creature, in my opinion, looks better or has more of a relatability to something that is simply CGI, or an image on a screen. The new Furby could be fed and also have its native language of Furbish translated via the smartphone app. Over the years since then, new and updated Furbies have been released, with one of the later versions being Furby Connect. All the bells and whistles added for a hefty price tag. In my opinion though, these new Furbies lack the charm of the originals. I actually had a chance to play with the newest Furby, simply known as Furby Interactive Toy, this Christmas, as my sister bought them for her kids. The LCD screen eyes have been replaced with mechanical ones, and it's now voice controlled. Pressing a button on its head and saying, "Hey, Furby," followed by one of the five commands, allows you to interact with the creature. These commands include one called Copycat, which is where the Furby repeats what you've said in a funny voice. These new models will interact with other Furbies, however they must be paired with them first, which kind of ruins the illusion of it being alive.
It's alive!
Many people do still long for the Generation 1 models, with them being sold on eBay for a big chunk of change. Speaking of second-hand Furbies, some people have created their own modified Furbies. These have sometimes been hacked to say or do strange things. Others are simply Furby-style plushies that use the original eyes and beak. The creations are seriously creepy, having been made into cryptid creatures that walk on all fours, or humanoid versions with big rubber hands. People sell these online, and some of them are the stuff of nightmares. I'll upload some pictures to the podcast social media pages, so go check out at Vivid Recall Podcast on Instagram if you want to see those. You can also search the phrase long Furby in Google Images for a real treat. Enjoy that. I'm sure that people who are in the market for secondhand Furbies are either collectors or those looking for nostalgia of the late 1990s and want to relive the fear that they felt when their robotic pet hamster owl woke them up by screaming a made-up language at 3 in the morning. With the increase in AI technology and the big rise in ChatGPT, I predict that we have more Furby-style companions on the way. This time, though, they might actually succeed in taking over the world. Guys, you've been listening to the Vivid Recall Podcast with me, Andre T. Kemp, your humble host. Thank you for listening to the show right through to the end. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you have, then please do give the podcast a 5-star rating and leave a review, as well as posting about it and sharing it with your friends and family. I'm a one-man show, so I read all of your comments and feedback personally, and it really means a lot to have your support. Please tell me suggestions for topics and other ideas that you may have via the social media links or look up at Vivid Recall on X. You know, that social media site that used to be Twitter. Make sure you subscribe and follow the podcast. And if you're on Spotify, then click that little bell, because that way you won't miss future releases. It'll literally give you a little alert on your phone saying, "New release, Vivid Recall, listen now." Or something like that, anyway. But without further ado, here is a taster of what's in store next time. Next time on Vivid Recall. The children's toy that took the internet bidding sites by storm. Animals stuffed with beans took off and caused a sensation amongst collectors. But although the toys were originally marketed to kids, the rarity of some of the releases meant that even adults bought into the craze. Some believing that the resale of their toys could pay off their house or even put their children through college. But what really happened? Did anybody actually get rich from collecting Beanie Babies? Find out on the next exciting episode that will make you vividly recall your childhood memories. Now that's what I call nostalgia. Vivid Recall was written and produced by me, Andre T. Kemp. If you're looking for more content other than this podcast, then hit up my personal YouTube channel. There you'll see me build some crazy machines, gadgets, along with other things regarding life in my workshop. Just search Andre T. Kemp in the YouTube search bar. If you're looking for the sources of this episode, all are listed in the show's description. Plus, there you'll find some links to some other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.